Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. To mark the seventh world meeting of families taking place in Milan, I thought I'd step back in time and take a look at a document drawn up by Blessed John Paul II by the title of Familiaris Consortio, on the role of the Christian family in the modern world, published on November 22, 1981. I'll be doing this by picking up on a conversation with Professor of Social Teaching at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas here in Rome, Dominican Alejandro Crosthwaite. In a few moments, I'll be asking him to comment on what John Paul II himself said about this document during his apostolic visit to Great Britain, 6 months after this document was published. For while this visit, as we know, had a leitmotif, the seven sacraments of the Church, and on one occasion, precisely in York, on the 31st of May 1982, at Knavesmere Racecourse during Holy Mass for Families, the theme of the Pope's homily focused on the sacrament of marriage. As I discovered, the Polish pontiff drew from this document on more than one occasion. Let's listen.
Recently, I wrote an apostolic exhortation to the whole Catholic Church regarding the role of the Christian family in the modern world. In that exhortation, I underlined the positive aspects of the family life today. At the same time, I could not fail to draw attention to the negative phenomena, a corruption of the idea and experience of freedom, with consequent self-centeredness in human relations.
He attempted to balance out the negative and the positive, didn't he?
Yes, he did, although the document presents the ideal family,
which include a more lively awareness of personal freedom and greater attention to the quality of interpersonal relationships in marriage, greater attention to promoting the dignity of women, to responsible procreation, to the education of children.
So John Paul II was very much aware of the reality of the family in the contemporary world. But also the negative elements is that we have become very individualistic, even within the family.
The Pope actually lists some of these negative aspects. Let's listen.
Self-centeredness in human relations, serious misconceptions regarding the relationship between parents and children, the growing number of divorces, the scourge of abortion, the spread of contraceptive and anti-life mentality. Besides this destructive forces, there are social and economic conditions which affect millions of human beings, undermining the strength and stability of marriage and family life. In addition, there is a cultural onslaught against the family by those who attack married life as irrelevant or outdated. All of this is a serious challenge to society and to the Church.
There's a line where he says, "In the family, bridges are meant to be built, not broken."
Again, I think John Paul, with his own philosophy of personalism, where the person takes center stage and intersubjectivity, that means the relationship with one person and another, was very important for him. And that is clearly reflected in this exhortation, where he calls the husband and wife to build bridges among the sexes, men and women, and then the parents to build bridges between themselves and their children, so almost an intergenerational bridge building. And then he calls the family itself as an institution, as a unit, to build bridges with larger societies. So the family is not something private. It's also something public that is called also to build those bridges with the larger society, especially with those who are excluded, those who are oppressed, those who are poor, those who are neglected, those who somehow are out of reach for most of society.
At the beginning of the apostolic exhortation,
Pope John Paul identifies three categories of families: those who are faithful to the teaching of the church, those who are bewildered. Then finally, he mentions others who are hindered by various situations of injustice in the realization of their fundamental rights. Now, that journey to Great Britain took place during the Falklands War, and he mentions that in his homily at York.
Yes, again, calling the family to be the bridge-building family institution. He remembered especially the dead and those who were separated during the Falkland Wars, both in Britain and in Argentina. And he calls those families to build bridges of peace between the two countries that were at war at that time. That peace begins with the family, and that the families, because they understand each other, and for example, families in Britain and families in Argentina were going through the same pain and struggle. And so he called them to that solidarity, to reach deep inside and say, how my family is being affected by this war, and realizing that also the families on the other side are being affected the same way, and to build those bridges of solidarity and peace and justice.
Make sure that your families are real communities of love. Allow that love to reach out to other people, near and far. Reach out especially to the lonely and burdened people of your neighborhood, to the poor and to all those on the margin of society. In this way, you will build up your society in peace, for peace requires trust, and trust is the child of love, and love comes to birth in the cradle of the family.
John Paul II says, history is not simply a fixed progression towards what is better, but rather an event of freedom and even a struggle between freedoms that are in mutual conflict. Can you comment?
Yes, I think like any community, the family has to be an intentional community. I think the couple within the marriage, it's not only a question of a feeling of love for each other, but it's also a commitment. That's what marriage is. And I think we're going through a period of history where we're afraid of commitment. People don't want to make a commitment. I think that's one of the biggest threats today. Young people are afraid of commitment, especially when you say, this is till death do you part. I think that is quite scary and frightening for most people in today's world. And so he's calling again to look at this commitment, an intentional community. We need to be committed to one another, husband and wife, that I will be there for my wife and my wife will be there for me, and we will mutually help each other grow in spirituality and as human beings, that we are committed to our children to help them also mature and grow as citizens and as believers. And the children are also committed to be part of this family because that is where they find their support, where they will find their love, where they're their roots. And so it calls to them also to be committed to their family. You know, we always know that teenagers always rebel against the family, etc. And in one sense, that's a natural process of growing up. But I think we need to keep emphasizing this is your family. And as we give you, you also are to give. And so it's this mutual commitment. And again, it's a question of intentional community. It's we create the perfect family, you know, and it's a lot of struggle. It's very difficult. But if we have that commitment to it, and they said, this is important in my life, this is something that makes me whole, then I think things will work out at the end, even in difficult situations.
So Familiaris Consortio is still a roadmap for families?
Oh, definitely. I think there's still a lot of issues that need to be dealt with as we're developing little by little a theology of the family. What is the family from a theological perspective? We're still developing that. But Familiaris Consortio is definitely a good start. And I think it gives enough guidelines to be able to create the families that are supportive of the individuals that form it and that truly will create the believers of tomorrow and the citizens of tomorrow.
My thanks there go to Professor of Social Teaching at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas here in Rome. He's Dominican, Alejandro Crosswaite. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.